Please take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Just one verse this evening, verse 6. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Probably a familiar verse this evening to most. King Solomon writes in verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweet fellowship that we enjoy this evening, all because of Jesus Christ. Help me to preach what you've laid in my heart. May people hear your words and not what I would say, Lord. And may I be very adherent to your Holy Spirit, that I may preach and teach what you've laid on my heart. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon this evening is entitled, Training versus Teaching. Training versus Teaching. Many Christian parents will quote this verse when their children have wandered away from the Lord. I've heard this a few times from quote-unquote Christian parents through the years, and their children have gone astray from the Lord. And they'll say, "I don't understand, because I trained up my child, and the Bible says, preacher, that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So I'm going to hope and pray, preacher, that because of that training, they come back." Well, we will address this verse and what it truly means this evening, and how it applies to us and our children. Remember this common phrase in our culture as we study this evening. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If you don't know what that common saying in our culture means, it means that you can, if you're applying the example of a horse, the horse needs water. You bring the horse to water, but you cannot make him drink out of that water. Someone needs Jesus. You can lend to Jesus, but you can't make him be saved. All right? My first point this evening is teaching. Teaching. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, teaching comes from the word teach, which means to instruct, to inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that of which he was before ignorant, to deliver any doctrine, art, principles, or words or instructions. So in other words, teaching is passing along knowledge to somebody or group of people. It's to inform them of something that they didn't know. Or maybe they knew a little bit about it, but they got better at it because of the knowledge that was passed on to them. When it comes to people, especially our family, specifically our children, they need to know the knowledge and the truths of God's Word. They do. This is the very core of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. That's therein the Great Commission. Jesus said to His church, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And in the middle of all that, Jesus said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've given to you. Jesus, in the very core of the Great Commission, used the word teaching. God's Word must be taught. It must. Just because someone learns something doesn't mean that they remember it or indoctrinate it. Now, we'll get that in just a minute. Keep that in mind. Before a lost person gets saved, he must know that he's lost. How's he going to know he's lost? It has to be taught to him through the Word of God. That harmonizes with Romans chapter 10. On down in verse 13, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you go back up, it talks about how they get to hear the Word of God. That children of God get to go and to teach them and to preach the gospel to them. But just because someone learns something doesn't mean that they remember it. In this statistic, by the research from the National Highway Institution, in adults alone, not counting teenagers or kids, in adults alone, we retain approximately 10% of what we see, 30 to 40% of what we see and hear, and 90% of what we see, hear, and do. We all have the capability to learn via all three styles, but are usually dominant in one, and that's visual, that's what you see, auditory, that's your ears, and kinesthetic, that's moving and hands-on, if you might. We all have the capability of using that, but we're typically stronger in one of those aspects. And believe it or not, the numbers are a little higher in children, especially in the years of 3 to 5. 3 to 5-year-olds say they're learning so much. They're just like little sponges. They do. But this... think about this just for a minute. How many of y'all that are in school, or you remember being in school, how many people study something to pass a test or a course, then soon forget it? Hello? Hello? Yeah, absolutely. I can remember in college thinking, I will never, ever, ever use this. But I got to pass this course to graduate. I got to. So I've got to remember this for this test so I can pass the course. And then, it's gone. Use that brain space for something else. You say, well, you ain't got much up there. I know, I know, I know. But most people experience this. If they have to pass something in order to get something else that they need or want, they'll remember it just enough for that. But that's the process of teaching. Just because you may have learned something from a church service or Sunday school does not mean that you have retained it. Here's the thing. There are people who've been going to church all of their life. I mean from infant to now. And there are certain things about God's Word that was taught to them in Sunday school, but they don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. You say, well, who fought the Battle of Jericho? Well, no. You've been in church all your life, you don't know that. I don't know. It was Joshua. Joshua and the children of Israel fought the Battle of Jericho. God actually fought it for them, though. He really did. That's the right answer. Who was in the lion's den? Old Daniel. Oh, yeah. Now, I can understand if you hadn't been in church all your life. But I'm telling you, there are quote-unquote Christian people from infancy till adult age who were there every service. And they don't know some of those basic things because they were taught it and they didn't retain it. But that brings me to my next point. Training. Training. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, training comes the word train, and it means to exercise, to discipline, to form by practice. The Hebrew word here in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 for train up means several things. The first one, it means to make narrow. In other words, having boundaries to where the only possible place or path to go is but one. That's what the Hebrew people understood as train up a child. You put a wall here and a wall here and something back here. The only way they can go is this way and this way only. That's what they meant. Well, thought about when they hear the word, train up a child. You make it where the only path they can go is but one. The other thing that it also means is to put something in someone's mouth. In other words, a person will live on how they are fed. Now, when I first read the definition in the Hebrew lexicon, I first thought it was saying treat a human being like a horse or even another beast of burden. Well, you know, where you put a bridle in their mouth and you have to lead them along. Well, that's not what it meant, but it would have preached really well there, though. That's not what it meant. It meant to feed someone by placing it in their mouth so that you are controlling what they're ingesting. Do you remember the story of the three little Hebrew boys that the Babylonians named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he told them, you know, we're going to feed you really well. And they said, no, we're going to live off of what we say. We're going to have vegetables. King says, all right. They said, we'll prove to you. We'll prove to you when we come back to you that we'll be healthier than anybody else because of our faith and trust and obedience to God. And of course it was. The control there was they had control over the food that was in their diet. And because of that, and of course, because God was involved, they were healthier as a result. Well, you and I both know if we would all eat right, we'd all be in much better shape. I'm just telling you, that's just a fact of life. But the spiritual application here of these two meanings, you put it in a context here in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. If we would direct our children's path, or even our own path, and if we're adults this evening, to where there's only one way to live and none other way to live, and instruct our children or even ourselves and getting fed the right kind of spiritual food, then there is only one possible way to live, and that is for God. Now that takes discipline. That takes practice. Fathers, this is our primary responsibility. Now, I appreciate so many godly mothers we have here this evening, but daddies, it's our responsibility. God gave it to us. That's our burden to bear. To make sure that our sons and our daughters, that they're spiritually fed properly, and that there are certain boundaries set up in their life so that the only way possible that they know is to live for God. But please remember this when training your children, if you still have children in your home. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 declares unto us, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what that means? That means don't do something consistently with your children that makes them say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the Lord. But at the same time, we must make sure our children do what's right for the Lord while there is time. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what that means? That means discipline your children. More specifically, it means give them a spanking. But that's only at a certain time in their life. Because it said, while there is time. I'll give you an example that I heard a preacher say one time. He said, when I was a kid, and I was in trouble, all my daddy had to do was rip off that belt. And no, daddy, please don't, please don't, please don't. Don't let your soul spare for your crying. It was good. But then he got to be a teenager, mouthed off to his mother and said he wasn't going to do such and such, and his daddy came along and said, I will beat you to the inch of your life. And he's like, oh yeah, sure, yeah, go ahead. See, it was past that point. Now, he probably still needed the whooping. He said, oh, I see how it is. You missed a big shot now. You think you've outgrown all this stuff. Well, I tell you what, hand the keys over to your vehicle right now. While we're at it, the TV is going out of your room. Daddy, please stop. Just give me a whooping. Don't do all that stuff. Yeah. See, chastening your child has to be done in a way that they understand why they don't need to do what they're doing and what they need to do instead. There are way too many of parents who bring their children to church, and that's all they do. They bring them to church, and they think that that's training up a child the way they should go. They're gaining some knowledge, but listen, the training has to come not only at church, but at home. More importantly, at home. What does your children, if you have children they've seen that they're still at home with you, what did they see you? How do they see your example, the spiritual examples that you are, mom and dad? Is the Word of God important? Is church important? Is the gospel important? Is living godly important? Or is it just looking like it important? There's a difference. I want you to understand something. The younger the child is, the easier it is to train them. But there's not any excuse, well, no matter how old you are this evening, where you cannot be trained to do something. We've all been trained to do something in our lives. If you were ever in the military, or if you are in the military, you were trained. It started day one at boot camp. And you got used to making that bed that certain way, and that's how you made it for the rest of your military career. And sometimes it stuck with you, and sometimes it didn't. Because some of you got married, and your wives did do something different. It's the truth. If you're married, you're trained. No matter if you're a husband or a wife. This was in the sermon this evening. I know we were talking about it earlier. I mean, husbands, we can't lie. Our wives have trained us. It's okay to say amen. It's the truth. And wives, we've trained you too. Oh, you don't want to say amen, but it's the truth in that too. It's the truth. We can go against our training in life, but we need to have the right training if we're going to do that. We cannot expect going to church alone or prepare our children to live for the Lord. It must come from both the home and church. No person can be trained without teaching, and no person can live with just training. Colossians 2 and verse 7 declares to us, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, you got to have teaching and training in order to live for God. And the younger we can do it, the better. Now, I know that there are some circumstances where I've heard parents, and I believe them. They've done everything they knew possible and lived it there at the home and so on and so forth, and sometimes their children still came out and went away from the Lord. But you know what? For those children who are adults now, if they are wittily living their life against God, then take this into account. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And I've heard parents, and especially mothers, cry and plead for their children to come back to God. And I'll be honest with you, not every situation is like this, but some of those kids are lost. And they need to be saved. And that's what they need, is a good dose of salvation. See, you can go against your training and do something else. For those who are faithful to go to the gym, you have trained your body to crave that and desire it. But if you ever get out of that routine, guess what? It's hard to get back in, isn't it? When someone starts missing church services, they know they need to get back in it. The Holy Spirit's telling them, you need to get back faithful to God's service. But it's hard and hard for them to do such. Or maybe it's a certain sin. Oh, it's wrong. The more you do it, the harder it is for you to stop. You have the knowledge. You know it's wrong. You know what you need to do. But you need to train yourself to do what's right. No one said it was easy. May we fight for our homes and our church by training our children at home and at church. For those of you with kids still at home this evening, I implore you, please, oh please, heed the warning from God, from His Word this evening. While there's time, still in your home, train your children. Don't just teach them, train them. Make it where it's the right thing to do and the right habit to not only go to church, but stay away from certain things and don't do certain things because God doesn't want us to do that. When I was in college, there were many quote-unquote missionary Baptist kids that would come to college and they would leave college not faithful to God at all because they got a taste of the world and they started living like the prodigal son. They knew it was wrong. But if you'd hang out with the right people and also you'd remember your training from God's Word, and heed the Holy Spirit, my goodness, you were at such peace knowing that you were living your life right and you were heartbroken at those that were not. But you know what? That didn't change at all. Past college, as a pastor, I see church people, and hear me out, they've been faithful and all of a sudden, they're gone. What happened? They forgot or went against their training. They decided, I'm going to slack off for a little bit. That's when you do that, that's when you're most vulnerable from the attacks of Satan. Be wise. Be vigilant. For our enemy is a roaring lion, seeketh about whom he may devour. I hope and pray this evening that whether you have kids, you don't have kids, whether they're grown or they're still at home, that we would be very careful to heed the knowledge and teachings of God's Word and then live it. Put up those boundaries in our life so there's no other way possible but to live for God. And when our soul longs for something, feed it the right diet. Feed it from God's Word. Now, if you have no desire to do that this evening, I change your heart. I really do. I hope God would change your heart. Because the Lord wants you. There's a common phrase that's been passed around our culture. The Lord wants you just as you are. No, He doesn't. He doesn't. Now, from where you are in your life, the Lord can change you. Now, that's the truth. But the Lord wants willing hearts and willing servants to live for Him. That's what God wants. God wants to be able to change your heart to make it better. Change your life. Make it better for Him. Well, there's no joy than knowing that you are living your life right for God. So if your heart is not right with God this evening, We're just to have a moment of invitation where you can do such a thing. From where you're sitting, standing, or you can come down here, it doesn't make any difference. As long as your heart is right with God before you leave the service this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And as an old sinner, reading your word, it convicts me often, and as it should, because I'm not perfect. And Lord, because your word says I'm not perfect, and I know I'm not perfect, and I know no one here is perfect this evening. And I pray that we would be convicted to be disciplined in our lives. Live holy and righteously before you and for the world to see your love in our life. And I pray that we would not do sinful things that would hinder our walk with you and especially hinder someone else's walk or decision to walk with you. I pray for everyone here this evening, saved or lost, that they would simply get their life right with you. Bless this time of invitation. And as he sings in Christ's name, amen. Would you please stand, Brother Mike?